You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on October 15th, 2004.
Route 17 from Binghamton to Bear Mountain has always been one of my favorite motor trips. As director of the Rogers Center at Sherburn, I made the trip frequently to conferences and workshops sponsored by the New York State Outdoor Education Association. Each season provides something special, and over the years I observed many changes as shrubs and trees began to take over abandoned crop fields and produce roadside hedgerows. That was over 30 years ago, and I was anxious on a recent trip to see whether my favorite vistas had been maintained, and of course whether the fall colors had yet emerged. As it turned out, the colors were subdued, and many of the vistas were screened by dense copses of trees and shrubs that fringed the roads. These were young trees, mostly less than 3 inches in diameter. The hillside pastures, where each spring dozens of deer could be seen feeding on weeds and grasses exposed by the melting snow, are now covered with trees. The boundaries of the fields are barely discernible. Once in a while, a patch of shorter trees marks the position of a former meadow or crop field. As I pondered these changes, my mind carried me back 3 centuries to the time when no paved highway existed. Then, except for a few places where steep ridges or rock outcrops overlooked lakes or rivers, there were few real vistas. In most places, a hiker would have had to climb a tree to see even a half mile. There were enough vistas, however, to excite the early settlers, and by the 19th century, the Catskills had gained a firm place in the folklore and culture of the day. What the transplanted Europeans found enchanting was the hidden narrow valleys, the pristine streams and lakes they enclosed, and the very atmosphere, the cool, moist glens, the morning mists, the mirror lakes and rounded peaks. The folklore invested them with mystic shades of the past, little men and various other spirits. Soon, in order to improve things for themselves, they began to cut into the very resource which provided the atmosphere, removing trees to create open fields for farming, clear-cutting the hemlocks for tanning, smelting limestone, and turning beautiful little nested ponds into reservoirs to supply water for a growing metropolis to the south. Still, this mountain retreat was beautiful and secluded enough to provide sites for impressive resorts. We often criticize the old-timers for their short-sightedness and greed, but they couldn't predict the consequences that we see today. They were sure they had the right, just as we feel secure about the far more widespread environmental indecencies of our day. Much of the evidence of their work has disappeared, and the Catskills, once ancient plateau, now artfully eroded and cloaked with beautiful forests, have not lost their magic charm. The name, I have heard, is a contraction of Catterskill, an old Dutch word meaning Wildcat Creek. It takes some stretch of the imagination to see how such a parochial term could end up being the moniker for a whole region, especially one of such outstanding character. It must be an interesting story, but I don't happen to know it. I have spent only limited time in the Catskills, mostly at conferences or workshops related to outdoor education. Frost Valley YMCA Camp and the Ashokan Campus of New Paltz provide opportunities for teacher workshops and outdoor education programs for school groups and college classes. I've taught at a number of workshops in both places. Our family also has tented in several campsites. My children especially like the hiking and wild atmosphere at Woodland Valley, which 40 years ago was a fairly rustic campsite. We all enjoyed visiting the small villages, looking at antiques, arts, and crafts, and talking with the local shop owners. A recently published travel guide from Ulster County reveals how the available facilities have proliferated with time. There appear to be dozens of campsites, resorts, and recreation centers, not to mention dozens of festivals and other events. The vocabulary has changed, too. Names like Apple Hill, Country Charm, Hawthorne Gallery, Dust and Rust, Barking Dog, and Sundance Rappel Tower have their charming aspect, but they don't exactly blend with the names of the villages with which they are associated. I suspect that the inhabitants are not the only things which have changed since I last visited the countryside. Interesting that while the countryside is trending toward the primeval condition, the communities seem to be moving toward the modern. I wonder how much of the country atmosphere that charmed us 50 years ago still remains. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.